Well, so good to be with all of you this morning as we continue our message series through the life of King David. As a way of recap, for those who didn't join us, the first week we looked at the heart of David and we looked at how God sees not as man sees. Man often looks at the outward appearance or the physical height, the worldly accomplishments, but God looks at the heart. Now, last week we went to a big topic of a big giant by the name of Goliath who was causing big problems for God's people. However, David was willing to be used by God, and he had a faith that honored God, and hence God honored his faith by delivering the Israelites through his hands. Now today, as we continue the series of King David, looking at the theme of shape for service, we're going to look at the next chapter, chapter 1, 1 Samuel chapter 18. So get your Bibles ready, 1 Samuel chapter 18. And we're going to look at the aftermath of David slaying Goliath. David slaying Goliath. Now, those who are familiar with the story of David knows that after his victory, he falls in favor not only with the Israelite people, but he falls in favor with King Saul. He gets a position in the royal courts as Saul's servant, and it was an absolute honor for David. However, it wasn't all smooth sailing. The problem started to, bit by bit, arise in David's life. King Saul was jealous at his fame, and so that led to a never-ending spiral of Saul trying to kill David, like a story of a cat trying to catch a mouse, all right? So Saul just trying to kill David the whole time. Now, we shouldn't be taken by surprise by this, because for those of you who have stepped up to serve, you know at some point you're going to face some difficulty in your service. It may not be to the extent of David where someone's trying to kill you, but those who say yes to God know that there is challenges and obstacles to overcome. But the good news this morning is that when we serve God, when we are shaped for our service in God, we are called to a higher calling. And God blesses us and God continues to lead us in our service. And that's what we're going to look at in David's life today in 1 Samuel 18. We're going to see David step into his role as a servant, but he faced much hardship and even constant near-death experiences. However, that didn't deter David from serving, but rather he pressed on, knowing his ultimate identity and God-given purpose. So with that in mind, I have a message titled, When Serving Gets Tough. When Serving Gets Tough. Now let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you that you have continued to lead us and guide us in this season as we shape ourselves according to your word and spirit, as we continue to step up to the plate to serve. Lord, teach us your ways and know that no matter what we face, you are with us. Lord, that you examine our hearts and you are the one who teaches our ways and leads our ways so that your name gets the glory. Lord, we thank you for this time and we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Now, when I was a young boy growing up in church, there was a couple at my church who were my youth leaders at the time. It was around sixth grade. And I really admired this couple. I really admired them. Even though they had busy lives, they would spend a lot of time and energy at church helping out with the youth group. They would also clean up, pack up the chairs, attend all the meetings at church, preparing lessons and driving people to and from church. These guys, in my mind, were heroes. And so as far back as I could remember, I thought the world of this couple. I always looked up to them and all that they did for God and his church. And not only did I admire them, but I prayed that, hey, one day I want to be just like them. And so during my teenage years, I started to have some small opportunities to serve. I started to serve in sharing devotions, packing up, cleaning up after lunch, cleaning the toilets. The things that I could do, I did. And I did it with much joy. And so as I moved from my teenage years and started to reach my young adult years, I started to have more opportunities to serve. Started to do some Sunday school teaching, becoming a co-worker in the youth committee, then becoming a deacon at the church. Now, at that time, it was great. No complaints. Not only did I have these opportunities to work for God and the church, I was finally able to fulfill my dream of being the couple that I admired to be when I was a young boy. Life serving God was great. But there's always a but in the story, right? Along the way, along the years of service, I came across two very difficult challenges that really bothered me. My first story is, when I was a youth leader, I was told to prepare a lesson on the Lord's Prayer because the sermon series on the Lord's Prayer, so I was told to lead a youth group lesson on the Lord's Prayer. So I memorized it and I prepared a lesson and I thought to myself, I'm going to structure it so nicely that everyone who comes and attends will understand the Lord's Prayer in depth and they'll be able to walk away memorizing the Lord's Prayer. And so on the day of the lesson, on Friday night, 7:30 p.m., I got to church early. I was on the whiteboard preparing the lesson and then I was memorizing the Lord's Prayer in my mind. And 7:30 came and guess what happened? No one arrived. No one came. But my dad and my sister. It was only my dad and my sister that came to youth group that night. And my sister made it worse because she was like looking around the whole time as if there was other people. There was no one there. What went wrong? Another incident of growing up at church was I remember when I became a deacon. The church at that time was talking about missions. And, you know, a lot of Chinese churches, we like to talk about missions. And we support missionaries. But we actually do very little missions. And so I thought with my best friend, who was also a deacon at the time, we said, hey, this is an effective evangelism model that the church down the road, they use. It's a Western church. And what they do is they hand out gospel tracts at train stations, at shopping malls. And they set up a table and engage in conversations. And because of that, a lot of people actually came to Christ and attended their church. So I thought, hey, why don't we try that? So we started to prepare and get the table ready and order all the gospel tracts, promote it at church and saying on Saturday mornings from 8 a.m. to 9 a.m. for 1 hour, just dedicate 1 hour of your Saturday morning. We're going to hand out gospel tracts. And so we're busy praying for this and pushing out all the notifications. And then on the day of the event, no one arrived. No one came. It was just me and my friend. Right, and we felt completely disheartened and demotivated. And that's when it started to slowly hit me. Ben, you know, serving God is not that easy. Ministry is actually very tough. It has many challenges. You face not only external anxieties and doubts that come along with serving God, but you also face a lot of external pressures and problems. Opposition, lack of support, whether from church members or leadership. And I remember I wrestled internally with this a lot. How do I deal with setbacks? How do I face challenges in ministry? You see, I have a heart to serve, and I'm sure many of you have a heart to serve, but why are there so many obstacles to overcome? Now, for those of you who serve in some capacity at church, or even outside of church, you know, my experience and the questions that I'm asking is not uncommon. We probably have faced much difficulty and setback in our services. Today, we're going to learn from the life of King David when it comes to being shaped for service. Because after David slayed Goliath, he gets promoted to King Saul's court and he starts his life of service. However, we're going to read that he faced much difficulty and challenges. And we're going to learn today how David faced those challenges and how he remained true to what God called him to do. So if you have your Bibles, 1 Samuel chapter 18, verses 1 to 30. I'm going to read 1 Samuel chapter 18, verses 1 to 30. Now, after David had finished talking with Saul, he met Jonathan, the king's son. There was an immediate bond between them, for Jonathan loved David. From that day on, Saul kept David with him and wouldn't let him return home. And Jonathan made a solemn pact with David because he loved him as he loved himself. Jonathan sealed the pact by taking off his robe and giving it to David, together with his tunic, sword, bow, and belt. Whatever Saul asked David to do, David did it successfully. So Saul made him a commander over the men of war, an appointment that was welcomed by the people and Saul's officers alike. When the victorious Israelite army was returning home after David had killed the Philistine, women from all the towns of Israel came out to meet King Saul. They sang and danced for joy with tambourines and cymbals, and this was their song. Saul has killed his thousands and David his 10,000s. This made Saul very angry. What's this? He said. They credit David with 10,000s and me with only thousands. Next day, they'll be making him their king. So from that time on, Saul kept a jealous eye on David. The very next day, a tormenting spirit from God overwhelmed Saul, and he began to rave in his house like a madman. David was playing the harp as he did each day, but Saul had a spear in his hand, and he suddenly hurled it at David, intending to pin him to the wall. But David escaped him twice. Saul was then afraid of David, for the Lord was with David and had turned away from Saul. Finally, Saul sent him away and appointed him commander over 1,000 men, and David faithfully led his troops into battle. David continued to succeed in everything he did, for the Lord was with him. When Saul recognized this, he became even more afraid of him. But all Israel and Judah loved David because he was so successful at leading his troops into battle. Verse 17. One day Saul said to David, I am ready to give you my older daughter Merab as your wife. But first you must prove yourself to be a real warrior by fighting the Lord's battles. For Saul thought, I'll send him out against the Philistines and let them kill him rather than doing it myself. Who am I and what is my family in Israel that I should be the king's son-in-law? David exclaimed. My father's family is nothing. So when the time came for Saul to give his daughter Merab in marriage to David, he gave her instead to Adriel, a man from Mehola. In the meantime, Saul's daughter Michal had fallen in love with David, and Saul was delighted when he heard about it. Here's another chance to see him killed by the Philistines. Saul said to himself, but to David he said, today you have a second chance to become my son-in-law. Then Saul told his men to say to David, hey, the king really likes you, and so do we. Why don't you accept the king's offer and become his son-in-law? When Saul's men said these things to David, he replied, how can a poor man from a humble family afford the bride price for the daughter of a king? When Saul's men reported this back to the king, he told him, tell David that all I want for the bride price is 100 Philistine foreskins. Vengeance on my enemies is all I really want. But what Saul had in mind was that David would be killed in the fight. David was delighted to accept the offer. Before the time limit expired, he and his men went out and killed 200 Philistines. Then David fulfilled the king's requirement by presenting all their foreskins to him. So Saul gave his daughter Michal to David to be his wife. When Saul realized that the Lord was with David and how much his daughter Michal loved him, Saul became even more afraid of him, and he remained David's enemy for the rest of his life. Every time the commanders of the Philistines attacked, David was more successful against them than all the rest of Saul's officers. So David's name became very famous. Now, as a way of recap, last week we saw that David just knocked out the big guy. He trusted in the Lord. The Lord used him to deliver the Israelites. So you can imagine the type of attention that was going around town. A lot of hype, a lot of people saying, hey, David's the real deal. David's the goat, right? So with all this attention, he catches the eye of King Saul. Saul gives him a position as a servant to him. David, from being a shepherd boy, now working in the king's royal courts. So life drastically changes for David. Now imagine this. He's like the guy who maybe pulls off this one big project at work and gets promoted to management position the next day. Or maybe he's that one college student who pulls off that winning home run or that one throw as a quarterback that leads the team to victory. Everything changes in that moment. Likewise, that's what happened to David after killing Goliath. Now going on in the story, what's interesting is that Saul's own son, Jonathan, the crown prince, recognized in David a kindred spirit and struck up a deep relationship with him. So not only did Saul like David, but also the crown prince Jonathan. They gave him a home in the palace as part of the royal family. Life dramatically changes for David. His many hours spent caring for the sheep, communion with the sheep, are over. Now he has a full-time role at the court, and his presence and his services are appreciated by all. Now the story gets interesting. As David is serving the royal courts, his name is getting reputation, and all that is about to change. Because it all started with a public scene that we read of when the ladies in town said that Saul struck down thousands, but David 10,000s. So imagine the scene with me. Every night bar in Israel, people were singing this tune, right? Saul kills thousands, but David 10,000s. Saul took it personally. Why? Because Saul lost the assurance of God's support for his kingship. But not only that, he found security in his role as a king because of the popular vote. But overnight, that was taken from him. David was more popular. Saul allowed jealousy to take root in his heart. He had resentment towards David. And you can just imagine, probably at night when Saul was sleeping, all he could hear was this, David's better than you. David's better than you. David's better than you. And so the next day, Saul invites David to come and play the harp as David did each day. Saul tries to kill David and throws a spear at him, and David dodges it. So I can just imagine David thinking, look, Saul, I know I'm not that good at the harp, but there's no need for a spear to be thrown at me, right? It reminds me when I was playing viola as a young kid, and every time I played a wrong note, my mom would throw a ruler at me. So I'm like ducking and trying to play at the same time. That's like David, you know, trying to play the harp, and he's always ducking these spears that were getting thrown at him. Poor David. Now Saul steps up his game. and gives more difficulty to David in all that he did. Saul used his two daughters. He thought, hey, if I entice David to my oldest daughter, Merab, and send him off to war, maybe he's going to die at the hands of the Philistines. Now, if I was David, I'd be thinking, hey, something doesn't sound right. Something ain't right. But David, with all humility, replies in verse 18, who am I? Who are my relatives? Who are my family heritage that I should be son-in-law to the king? Now, Saul's youngest daughter, Michal, now appears to the text. And she's presented of someone who loves David. But for Saul, as far as Saul is concerned, he couldn't care less that his daughter has fallen in love with David. All he cares about is furthering his own ends. Saul hopes that Michal would serve as a distraction to David and get David killed by the Philistines. But that also didn't work, for the Lord was with David in all that he did. Now, we might sit here and think and look at this story and think, well, good on David, all right? The Lord was with him. The Lord blessed him. But the more I look at this story in front of us, I can't help but think to myself and think for our theme this year. How did David deal with all these hardships and difficulties in ministry? Was he just naive? Was he just plain dumb? How did he continue when serving got tough? I mean, if it were up to any of us, if we were faced with such challenges and obstacles when we say yes to God in service or any type of pushback, I think it's fair to say that many of us would actually throw in the towel. But how did David do it? I believe there's a few lessons that we can learn as we go out to serve. And there's a few that I want to point out this morning. You see, in the midst of difficulty, in the midst of stepping up to serve God in whatever capacity he has called us to in any area of life, we learn that David remained obedient to Saul. He knew his role and he ultimately served God, which teaches us as we go and serve this year, we must be obedient to our calling and remember our role as servants to God. So that's my first point. We must be obedient to our calling and remember our role as servants to God. You see, David's journey into the life of ministry began when he was promoted to serve King Saul in the military. And the key to his successful navigation of this new role was the fact that David displayed obedience, faithfulness, and wisdom in his actions. In verse 5, notice carefully, look at verse 5 with me. Whatever Saul asked David to do, David did it successfully. So Saul made him a commander over the men of war, an appointment that was welcomed by the people and Saul's officers alike. You see, this type of obedience that David had towards Saul is crucial in any aspect of service to God, emphasizing submission to a higher purpose or authority. David's conduct was marked by wisdom. He didn't overstep his boundaries or misuse his position. His actions were guided by the knowledge that he was representing not only himself, but King Saul and ultimately God. David's diligence in obeying his boss was the secret to his success and the basis for his promotion. Saul rewarded David by making him a commander over the military. This is a good principle for many of us this morning, the desire to be shaped for God's servants, to be obedient to our calling and remember we are servants to God. Today, many who serve God, many who step up to the plate say they want to do their own thing, thinking in their own hearts and expressing it through their actions. You can't tell me what to do, when to do it. And so no wonder many who serve God, when rubber hits the road, when serving God gets challenging, I see many people give up because they lack submission and obedience to God. They're not willing to be led by God or by those God have placed in authority. They're leading themselves. They're only obedient to their will, and their will is not aligned to God's will. We need our will to be aligned with God, not to do things out of our own flesh, or we'll be weary and exhausted. David teaches us when we are being shaped for service, we need to learn to be faithful, to obey our calling, and to stick to our role, because even in the role of a servant, we are ultimately serving God. And with that in mind, we know that when God leads us, he leads us to a good place. Second lesson that we can learn, David maintained his humility before the Lord. In the face of difficulty, David maintained his humility before the Lord, which reminds us this morning to remain humble before the Lord. Remain humble before the Lord. You see, despite David achieving all these heroic feats and gaining popularity, David maintained his humility and avoided self-promotion. David didn't let the public's adoration get to him and inflate his ego. He didn't let his success and fame change his character. He continued to serve without seeking personal glory. He didn't walk around with a sense of entitlement saying, hey, you know, I deserve anyone I want to marry, I can have this or that. He knew his early anointing by the prophet Samuel. He stayed in his lane. He knew that his time hasn't yet come to become king. So he refrained from trying to see Saul's throne or overshadow his king. He demonstrated a patience and respect for the appointed authority that God placed in his life. This lesson shows us to stay humble and patient, recognizing that as we serve in due time, promotion comes only from God, not from self-promotion or the adoration of others. Too many of us, especially those who serve God, have too much pride. Pride kills the ability to grow, to learn, to keep developing. In James chapter 4, verse 6, it says, God opposes the proud, but shows favor to the humble. You see, when we are humble before God, when we exemplify humility, that of Christ, God's favor comes upon us, and we're able to step into any area of service because we have the Almighty God leading our steps forward. This year, our theme, as you know, is Shape for Service. Everyone knows that we ought to serve. In the Chinese side, they also have the same theme. But in the Chinese, the translation is just go and serve. But here in the English ministry, I intentionally tailored it to be shaped for service. To be shaped for service. Why? Because in order to be fully used by God to serve, we first must let pride die and let humility come and reign in our hearts. We first must be molded and shaped into the image of Christ before we go out and serve. And if we're able to do that, then we'll be instruments for God's use. Then we'll have a lifelong service. Third point, David continued in the midst of threat. An important lesson teaching us going forward how to serve in the face of difficulty is that we focus on the purpose. We focus on the purpose. In other words, we remind ourselves of the greater purpose behind our service. That's the thing that can carry many of us through. That's the thing that carried me through all these years is I remind myself of the greater purpose. David faced a significant challenge when King Saul's jealousy turned to hatred. Saul was trying to harm David. And in this scenario that we read, David had to serve someone who had become his enemy. Saul tried to kill him twice with a spear and sent him countless of times to enemy territory. David teaches us this morning to press forward and focus on our God-given purpose. Think about it. Despite this hostile environment and the evil influence upon Saul, David continued to fulfill his ministry. He served his king even when Saul sought to harm him, demonstrating to us an unwavering commitment to his duty. See, if it was me or if it was you, and we were called to this type of service to the king, and we were trying to get killed by the second, I'll be like, you know, this is too harmful, this is too dangerous, I'm out. It's not worth it. David stood firm and relied on God's protection. He pressed forward. He was not deterred by those things that were happening around him and to him. He remained faithful to his calling. He knew his purpose. In other words, he kept his eyes on the prize. He knew his identity. He knew his destiny and purpose to be king one day. Going back to his original prophecy and anointing by the prophet Samuel. And he did not let these things deter him to what God called him to be. Today, many of us who serve, it's very easy that we can get distractions and from moving us forward, forgetting our purpose. Maybe family issues, health, workplace, co-worker conflict, lack of attendance, support, and we throw in the towel. David, on the other hand, he knew his God-given anointing, his God-given purpose, and that led him forward. So as I wrap it up this morning, in the face of difficulty, as we go out and as we get shaped for service, David teaches us to be obedient to our calling, to remind us that, hey, we are servants ultimately serving God. And we face each difficulty ahead with full obedience to God, knowing that he works all things for his glory. Second, David maintained his humility before the Lord, teaching us that, hey, we need to remain humble before the Lord, being shaped and being molded into the image of Christ, stripping ourselves away from pride and allowing him to come and do that good work in and through us. And third, David pressed on in the face of opposition. In the face of opposition, he had an unwavering commitment to God. He focused on his God-given purpose. Every spear that was thrown at him, every fight that he had to enter, he was reminded of his God-given purpose. Today, many of us who say yes to God to serve, we're going to face many challenges. And this is not only in the context of church ministry, but in any area of life. And I know personally many people who have said yes to God, but they face challenges and it's quite hard. But I also know the same amount of people who have kept their eyes on the prize, people who look forward to their God-given purpose on earth. So I pray that as all of us, as we step out into service this year, as we get shaped for service, we know that difficulties will come for those who serve God. Challenges, setbacks, obstacles will come. But if we remain true to our identity and our calling, then we're able to keep pressing forward. After all these years of serving, I often reflect on those two incidences that I mentioned as a young co-worker. When no one attended the youth group and when no one came to help us out with evangelism. And I often think to myself, if I let those difficulties and obstacles come in my way, then I wouldn't be standing here today. I have to constantly remind myself of my greater purpose, of God calling me, of being remaining humble to God, and knowing that, hey, in due time, God will promote, God will continue to lead me forward. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for this morning. We thank you that your word teaches us that, Lord, through the support of Jonathan and the support that you give to David, that he can fulfill his purpose as a king of Israel. And so, Lord, we thank you that even in the midst of challenges and obstacles and setbacks, that David was able to push through, to remain humble and obedient to his calling. That, Lord, wherever you called him, he said yes, and he was willing to obey, and he did not forget his anointing. So, Lord, we just pray that for many of us, as we say yes to serve you, in our marriages, in our workplace, in our schools, in our church, whether any of us are deacons or leaders in any area of Christian ministry, Lord, we pray that though difficulties and obstacles will come our way, but Lord, we are being shaped and molded into to be more like Christ. And you are reminding us each and every day that we have a God-given purpose on earth. So we need to push through. We need to press on and press forward, knowing that the ultimate goal and prize is Christ Jesus. So Lord, we thank you for this word, and we continue to pray that as we go into the life of King David, Lord, we are shaped for service. We are learning that it's the heart that matters, and we are learning that you are the one who comes and solves our problems. And Lord, we need to step out in faith that honors you. And Lord, despite difficulties that we face, we are being shaped and molded, and we are being reminded of our God-given purpose. Lord, we thank you for this time, and we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.